Kuf Mem. Okay, we have different nuschaos here, different editions. This is going to be the second to last week. Next week's going to be the last shir, because then Rav Weimer is coming back. I presume he's going to be giving his 8 o'clock shir. I hope so. I mean, I'd like to give him the shir, but I think everyone wants him back in action. So I think that's going to be the plan. So let's now move on to the song Mayididus, which is next in line what we're up to. I'm not going to read through the whole thing and translate it, but as they come up, we'll discuss different parts. Okay, you're figuring out the page number?
Tough,
okay. So I apologize, I didn't put numbers on the different pieces, so I apologize. Hopefully we could all follow along here. But the first piece, I have like a little dash in here, Bechei Naritz. So the Zemmer has a line in it, it says Bechei Naritz Lekraseich, and that you're going to run and to greet Shabbos. The whole stanza is Ma Yedidus Menuch Chaseich, the love and the great love for your Menucha to the rest, at Shabbos Malka, the Shabbos Queen. Bechei Naritz Lekraseich, with it we're going to run to greet Shabbos. Boi Chala Nesucha. If we don't know who the author is, apparently it's a they figure out it was Menachem. The name was Menachem. It's the first stanza is a mem, the next one's a mem, and then it's a nun, a ches, and then it skips a hey, and then a mem. So they found out maybe it's Menachem, kind of hinting his name in the some of the stanzas here, but they don't know who exactly this individual Menachem was. So this first piece here, the Bechei Naritz Lekraseich Boi Chala Nesucha, Yesh Ledaktek, Madua Naked HaPayet HaLashen Bechein. A very strange Lashen Bechein. Lo lachain o alkain seems to be a more appropriate word to use than the word bechain. Kiroi yoser l'tferes halashon. The proper grammar, the proper language to be used is lachain or kain. V'nir shebal rameis l'divrei ha-gemara. They're hinting at the Gemara in Gittin daf ayin zayin. Sheyemei revi v'chamishi v'shishi nikram al shem ha-shabbos haba. Wednesday is Thursday and Shabbos already is part of the upcoming Shabbos. Umevur b'shem Ari shemiyom revi ve'elach misoreres kedusha Shabbos haba. Already there's some type of kedusha in the world during these 3 days leading to Shabbos. V'shlosh yomim elu olam yachal l'shivim u'shtayim shalos. We know 24 hours a day times 3 is going to be 72 hours. So there are 72 hours that are leading up to Shabbos. V'hu shamar, that's what it means. B'chein naris l'kursach. B'chein is gematria Ein Bay 72. So with Bechein, with the 72 hours, it's Naritz Lekraseich. We're running towards to greeting Shabbos. Ularameis kimeyom revi ve'elach Naritz Lekras Shabbos to greet Shabbos kikdushasa mimashmeshes uba shlosha yamim kodim haShabbos. So that's the idea in the deeper level, what it means Bechein Naritz Lekraseich. With the 72 hours we are preparing, we're getting excited for Shabbos. Okay, the next part of the piece here, we mentioned in the next Zemmer, we describe different types of sweets and delicacies we eat on Shabbos. So the Zemmer says, Me'erev mazminim, from already Erev Shabbos we start to prepare. Kol mini matamim, all types of tasty foods. Mi'be'od yo muchanim, they're prepared from before Shabbos. Tarnagolim, mufutamim, fat chickens. Velaroch kamaminim, we prepare many types of minim. I'm reading from the Zemmer itself, right, by the way. I'm just reading, sorry. I'm teaching the Zemmer, then we're going to go back to the questions, I'm sorry. Shisos yenos mevusamim, and we drink very tasty wine. Bisafnuke madonim mechol shalosh pamim, 3 times on 3 meals. So if you look at the next piece here, shisos yenos mevusamim, it's quotes from the Toldos Adam the following. Shisos yenos mevusamim rashei tevos shimim. Interesting language use. Drinking wine that's spiced, that's seasoned. Rashei tevos again, shimim. Lerames, to tell us, to hint, she'af ha'pisha hayu mora al midas hadin. Even though wine represents midas hadin, represents something negative, aval shtiyaso l'shem mitzvah, if you drink it the purpose of mitzvah, mimasek es hadinim, it actually sweetens, it weakens the din, u'mivia lidei ribuay chasadim be'olam. If a person knows how to drink properly with a proper control, it can lead to great chesed, u'bekach misgadil miskadei shemol she'kadosh baruch. And through that, through that Shem Shemaim, a person could bring about tremendous chesed, tremendous kiddush Hashem. So this is reminiscent of the Mishnah and Sukkah, which describes what happens when a person is sitting in a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael and it rains. It rains while you're sitting in the sukkah. So the halacha is that you're supposed to leave the sukkah. And the Gemara says it's a mashal, as if a eved is giving some water to his master, and the master, the king, throws the water in his face. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing when it rains on Sukkot. So the Gra points out, what exactly is the idea of the water? Why is the Eved bringing water to the king, not wine? So the Gra explains, based on a Rashi there, that the king's holding wine. He has the Yom HaDin. We just came from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom HaDin. So now Sukkot comes, with his, which is water, represented by Geshem. The water's coming to sweeten it, to soften, to dilute the wine, to be Mamtik the Din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in being Mamtik the Din. He takes the water and throws it back in the face of the Eved. So wine represents Din, and Maim always represents Chesed. So Chesed, the Maim, is always trying to sweeten the wine. But sometimes we have the ability of taking the wine and sweetening itself. Sometimes you need water to sweeten it. Sometimes, if you have the proper, the Shem Shemayim, so then you yourself have the ability of lightening the din of Yain. It's brought down in the Sram HaKadoshim that there are there's Shiva Mashkin. Shiva Mashkin is when it comes to Tumah. We're going through a little tangent right now. For food to become Tumah, if I have an apple, and I'm a person who's Tumah, I'm Tumah Mesh, let's say. If I touch an apple, even though someone who's Tumah Mesh could be Metameh, contaminate foods, that apple has to first come into contact with a liquid. So for example, water. If I have an apple that's attached to a tree, if it rains on that apple, it's not going to become tame even if I touch it. But once I've detached that apple from the tree, now it's roi, it's fit for me to eat. If this apple comes into contact with water or any of the other seven mashing, which I'll go through, so now if I touch this apple, now it's going to become tame. It has to first touch a liquid before being susceptible to my tumor. So which seven liquids have the ability to make food, what's called a hechshu l'tumah? It can make it susceptible to tumah. So what are the seven mashkim? So we have, there's mayim, there's water, there's honey, there's oil, there's blood, there's milk, there's dew, and what am I missing?
Milk.
I mentioned milk?
Yad shachad dam.
Yeah. So yain dam, I forgot, oil.
Towel.
Oil. I forgot oil. I said dew. So there's seven mashkim. I'm going to go through to help you remember this. Yad Shachadam is a Rosh HaTeva used by the Ramah to help you remember. But I'm going to give you another mnemonic to help you remember, which is going to now add a lot of flavor to these seven mashkim.
What's the Yud?
I'll go through right now. There's Yayin. Yayin is Yud. So the Svar Makadoshim point out that these seven liquids actually correlate to the seven Yom Tovim we have throughout the year. So now let's walk through. It's going to become very obvious. Rosh Hashanah is connected, which one?
Dvash,
honey. Sukkot is connected,
mayim.
Chanukah is connected, shemen. Purim is connected, yayin. Pesach is connected, tal. Shavuos is connected, chalav. I forget, and Yom Kippur is connected, dam. Or the blood that's sprinkled. So everything works out very, very nicely in how the seven mashkim correspond to the seven Yom Tovim. So Purim, which is Yayin, and Yayin is Din. So what? And Yayin, we know Purim is one of the happiest days. It's more Kadosh, more Simcha than Yom Kippur itself. So why would Purim be a day of Simcha if it's a day of Yayin, which is really Din? And so I think the answer is, based on what we're saying here, that wine, as we all know, alcohol is extremely dangerous. Certainly on Purim. Certainly a person doesn't know how to control himself. Now that's one of the reasons why. That is the reason why there's no alcohol in the shul. Even though people love to drink, and there's good reasons. Drinking in a certain way, it could bring a person to a certain level if it knows how to, a person knows how to responsibly. But Weinberger, unfortunately, knows too much what goes on behind the scenes, and unfortunately knows too much bad things that happen. And he's, you know, as he mentioned to me, that he has to speak to all the wives who have to deal with their husbands at home, whatever type of drinking problems that they have, and whatever that leads to. So yain, wine, is extremely dangerous, as we know. But when it's done in the proper way, responsibly, so then even yain, which is din, can be elevated to a tremendous level. And that's what he's saying here, that sheisos yain mivusamim, which is a lashon Rosh HaTeva shemi, when a person drinks wine, l'shem shemayim, I'm not recommending one does, but if one does know how to do it properly, it could bring a person to a very, very high level of perm. But because of dangers and because it's such a slippery slope, so it's certainly discouraged unless you're old enough and mature enough to be able to do it properly. Okay, by the way, the Sfardim, when they make Kiddush, I think Sfardim, the halacha is, I'm pretty sure they do this, right before they say the bracha hagafen or hagefen, they pour water on top of the wine. It's brought down in halacha that you're supposed to dilute it a little bit right before you say the gefen. Why? The same idea of being mamtik the din, being mamtik to lighten, to dilute the wine which represents a day of din. We do not know. We have.
He does.
Halachically speaking, there's a challenge halachically because we don't know the ratios of how to dilute wine properly. Back then, in the times of the Gemara, it was very strong, very potent. You had to dilute the water. Nowadays, Nowadays, the wine is already diluted. It's a lot of it is water, and therefore, if you dilute it too much, it might lose its bracha of agafen. So that's why Ashkenazim mitat halacha, we don't do that anymore. But apparently, I remember Hasidim, you're right, and Sfardim certainly continue to do that practice.
But the Ramos is up to six parts to one is okay.
Yeah, but there Mishabur points out, we don't know exactly whether our ratios. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's our wine's much weaker also nowadays. That ratio may have changed, they point out in the postgame.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's why if you have mixed grape juice with seltzer, it's not so pasha whether it really has a hagafen or not anymore. Okay. So, okay. Let's go now to the same page, go down to Nachla B'Zechus Rachme Hashem. So in the Zemer it says, Nachlas Yaakov Yirash B'li Mitzarim Nachla. Based on the Gemara, the person who keeps Shabbos properly, he's going to be Zocha to a Nachla, to a portion, like Yaakov Avinu, without any borders. B'li Mitzarim, without any borders, an endless amount of Nachla for keeping Shabbos properly. So the Kedushas Levi writes, Im adam mevakesh mehashem yisbarach shelo bezuchus el bechesed. Person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want it because I deserve it, because of a zuchus. I want it because of a chesed from you. So then, kefi shebikesh Yaakov Avinu, katonti mikol chasadim, mikol emes asher asisi im avdecha. I'm katonti, I'm so small, Yaakov says, I'm not worthy of any of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have no zuchuyos on my own. Harehu zochel anachla bli mitzarim, lefi she'en shir v'sof l'rach mehashem yisbarach. It's a fascinating point. A person says, please give me something because I deserve it. So then, how much do we deserve? No matter how great you are, there's a limit to what you've accomplished, what zechuyos you have. Even if you're a really great person, even a tzaddik has a certain limit to what he accomplished. But if you ask for Kadosh Baruch Hu because of the chesed, not because I deserve, I might deserve something, but I don't want based on my own merits. I want based on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, so then that chesed is b'li mitzarim. Yaakov Avinu was saying, katonti mechachas adam. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm so katonti, I'm so small. I've got nothing in me. So just give me chesed. So then your zochah, if that's the request you want, your zochah to Yaakov's nachla, which is b'limit sarim. It's purely chesed. Now this reminded me of a well-known gra based on a Gemara that the amount of gaiva, Gemara says, how much gaiva can a person have? We know gaiva is a terrible thing. So what's the amount? Like 1/8 of 1/8, which is 1/64. The amount of gaiva that person is allowed to and should have. You can't be zero. Person's zero. If you have mamish zero gaiva, which means zero confidence, you're not going to accomplish anything in the world. And if there's too much gaiva, so then you're going to be obviously having a lot of problems, whether it's kas, whether it's controlling people. The amount that the Gra has said based on the Gemara is 1/64. Now, how do you calculate that? I'm not sure how do you... You know, how do you really put that into a definition? How do you know what 1/64 of your gaiva is? But he said a very interesting remez kedarko that what's the remez katonti? The eighth parsha of the Torah, the eighth pasuk is katonti. So 8 times 8 is 64. That's 1/64. Really being katonti, having a tremendous humility like Yaakov Avinu. So it reminds me, and I mentioned before some interesting phone calls I get throughout my time here in Esh Kodesh. I'm going to share one on Shabbos morning. I'm not going to share with you right now. But some people really just lack pure social skills. How to talk nicely to people. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you which area codes they come from. It's usually consistent, and I know the area code where it's coming from, and if I know what the type of... I don't know the question, but I know it's going to happen. So one I got recently, I'll share two with you right now that came to mind. So a person calls me up. What?
Change your phone number to a 900 number.
So a person calls me up. He's like, I need to speak to Rav Weinberger. It's an emergency. I need his number. I said, I'm sorry, he's out of the country. So I really need to talk to him. I need what's his number? I can't give you his number. He's on sabbatical for 3 months. I can't. He says, I said, if it's so important, if you want, give me your number, and I could, you know, have him get in touch with you if he finds it very important. He said, I can't have the Rav call me. I need to call the rabbi. He can't be calling me. What's his number? He said, I'm really sorry. I can't give you his number. But tell me what the emergency, maybe I can help you out. I need to know right now, this second, it's really urgent. So, well, if it's so urgent, tell me what it is, and then I could call him, and if it's so urgent, he'll call you back. He's like, I don't know, Ian. I need to, it's about a shidduch, and I need to know right now about this person. I said, okay, I understand that shidduchim are very important. I'm not going to, you know, belittle that. But I'll tell you what, you know, why don't you, I'll give you his email, and you could email him, and then he'll respond to you as he feels needed. I don't have access to an internet. I live in wherever I live. I don't know. I'm a Heimish guy. I don't know. I says, could you email the following for me? Write this down. And then I said, listen, I'm not his secretary. Listen, you found my number somehow. So I don't know if you saw it on the H website. I'm sure you have someone in the family who has email. And just have them email. I'll give you the email address. And you could just email them directly. And that was one conversation. So it wasn't, again, the guy was nice on the phone. But the sense of urgency a person has, that I'm not, again, discounting the importance of shidduchim by any, but people find that their problems is the most important thing, which it is, but it can impact everyone else's life and everything has to stop for them. And then I received another phone call. A lady calls me up and she's like, oh, are you Rabbi Levin? I said, yes. I said, do you know so-and-so? I said, yeah, who's calling? She said, do you know so-and-so? I said, what's your name? Who's calling me? So she said, she wouldn't say her name. I'm a volunteer, I'm working for some organization for Shidduchim. So very, very nice. So I want to know about this particular person. Is she married yet? I said, I'm not exactly sure. How'd you get my number? She said, well, I saw on her resume. So I said, if you have a resume, that probably means she's my number's on the resume. She said, no, I call her. Get me her number. I said, what? Get me her number. I said, excuse me, I mean, if you found my information out from somehow, you could probably find that her information as well. I need your number right now. I said, you're volunteering for a shidduch organization and you're talking to me like that? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll find the number out for you, but I think you should speak a little bit nicely. And I found the number of hers I had in my phone. I gave it to her and she didn't even say thank you and she hung up the phone and that was it.
You immediately called the person and said,
I warned the person. I said, you might be getting a phone call from this person. I didn't want a chance for her to get married, but I didn't want to ruin the chance for her. But it just the basic, and this person felt like, I guess she was doing a chesed for the other person, so she didn't need to be nice, right? I'm doing the chesed. I'm volunteering. I'm helping her find a shidduch. There's no need for me to be nice. She should be rolling on the red carpet for me. So these are some of the types of phone calls I get from people who really just lack the basics of social skills, how to say please and thank you and to be nice.
You should give them Dale Carnegie's number.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's go now to the next piece, the same page, the left column. It's Vavodas Hashem Bechinos Ashir V'ani. So this is in the Zemer, we say, V'yichabdu Ashir V'rash V'tzitzku L'gula. The simple understanding of this line is that V'yichabdu, we honor Shabbos, both the Ashir, the Rash, both the wealthy and the Rash is a person who is poor, and we celebrate together and honor Shabbos, and through this, v'siz kulagula, we're going to be zolcha to the redemption. So the Divrei Shmuel takes a little bit different, not Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat is that everyone just, no matter what level, where you're standing financially, everyone honors it together. But Divrei Shmuel says an amazing point, which is a very, very hard yeso to live by. But it's true. Ha'adam tzarech la'avod es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has to live his life balancing both the world of wealth and the world of poverty. How is that accomplished? Ashir, a person who is wealthy is one who is happy with what he has. That's, as we know, the mission of us. A person should realize that I am the son of a king. I call the Klai Yisrael are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To realize that in mind, that's Samech V'chelko. V'hi madregas v'yigba libo midarch Hashem, that to elevate a person's heart, to have that sense of confidence of who you are and where you come from. At the same time, which is the challenge, v'ani huzeh ha-mishalich b'shivron lev u'merirus, a person to be able to walk with a broken heart with bitterness, ketad hay is panav lachto la'asus maisim, how am I able to sin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a prince, to do what I've done? Asher heima einam ru'uyim l'malos ben hamelech, I've done things that are so not worthy of being a prince, being the son of a king, so to have that balance of that one time, at the same time being an usher and a rush, to be wealthy, to be happy, but also broken in everything you've done wrong. That's a very hard balance to strike of having the two. Many people are either very depressed in what they've done wrong and don't have that simcha. Many people are very, very besimcha and happy what they've accomplished, but don't have that sense of guilt of what they've done wrong, and it's always trying to find that proper balance.
You connected, a person has a broken heart, and then you connected that with the word bitterness. Why does the broken heart have to connect with bitterness?
I think it's a good point. I was reading from the Divrei Shmuel, but you're right.
You know, people can have a broken heart, doesn't mean they're bitter. They who knows what they're feeling?
Right.
They don't know what a person's feeling. Some people, yeah, they go the other way around. They blame the whole world.
Right.
But other people don't find the world. Right. They can have a broken heart, you know.
I think you're right. I don't think bitterness here in this context means you're bitter to everyone else. It means inside yourself you're disappointed and bitter about what you've done wrong and what you have not accomplished. But I think you're right. Not to mean people who are bitter to the world, they have no sense of simcha. I mean, on the outside, a person should feel simcha and to everyone else and to be saved upon him yafos. But inside, feel a certain amount of broken on what he's done or she's done wrong, balancing that with the simcha of knowing that, of course, even though we've done so much wrong, we're still the children of the melech, and we've accomplished and can accomplish so much. So that's what it means, v'chabdu, ashivirash, to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu both with that same level of wealth and happiness, with poverty and lowliness. The next piece, right below this, it's going on the words, Yom Shabbos im tishmaru v'yisem li segula, you should keep Shabbos, and it's going to be a segula, it's going to be beneficial for you, the sheshes yomim tavodu, the next 6 days that you serve, b'shvi nagila. There's this circle, there's a whole connection of Shabbos to 6 days, to Shabbos again, it's a whole cycle. And so the Noz Desha writes, Yesh Lefarish says, to explain, apimayim harav HaKadosh Rabbi Shmelka min Nicholsburg, she'ashabbos harishona mikadeshes as yimeyachol. We've seen this before in other discussions, but Shabbos first sanctifies the upcoming week. Vayidei kiddush sheishes yamim, now through sanctifying the next 6 days, elu miskadeshes v'yeser seis, now that elevates the next Shabbos to a higher level, haba lacherem. It's building up these building blocks. As long as your first Shabbos starts off very strong, so now that infuses the upcoming week even stronger, which then makes the next Shabbos even stronger and continues to grow. That's what he meant in this song. Yom Shabbos im tishmaru, if you keep Shabbos, vayidei kein, through properly keeping it, tizku la'avod kiroi es Hashem yizbarach b'sheishes yomim shelacharei, to serve Hashem properly during the next 6 weeks. What does that mean, the next six days, rather? And we discussed many times, there are many ways a person could sanctify Kadosh Baruch Hu through the week. One is how you work. During the work itself, some people go to work and think it's b'di'evin. I'm going to work because I need to support my family. I'm going to work because I have to and I really hate this job. That's not the way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are here in this world, those who are not, some people are fit for working, some people are fit for learning. I'm not fit for working, I tried it, that's not for me. Some people are fit for working, not for learning. Everyone has a different tafkid in this life, in this world. And someone told me just the other day, we're discussing the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yomi came up yesterday, how we got into conversation now, slowly it came into technology. Technology is obviously not discussed in Avodah Zarah, but how cars and flying cars and self-driving cars are going to make life so much easier, that you could just go from one place to the next and just sit back and let the car do it once they get to all the safety. And what that's going to allow for everyone now, technology could either be a tremendous disadvantage and that's going to make us stuck in using the phone and playing on games all the day, or technology could help make life easier of going to Amazon grocery store, whatever it's called, what do they call it, Amazon shop or something. You walk into this place, there's no cash register, you go in, you just put your phone on, and then you just take everything and you come and go. There's no lines, you come and go, and then they register whatever you took, and they pay for it. So that means going to the grocery store is going to be half the time as it is now, and that's just one stage. Soon it's going to be coming to your doorstep. You just say what you want, and then you tell whatever her name is, Alexa, and then the food's going to come to your doorstep in the next 30 minutes.
They're already coming to your doorstep.
They already have refrigerators that keep track of what you have in the refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
Right. And if you can set it that if the milk runs to a certain level, it will reorder.
So we're 5 years away from everything coming to your door and doing no work, no driving, you're going to fly, and everything's going to be done for you.
Yes.
So what does that mean for us?
Time,
right. What are you going to do? So the person said to me, the whole point, of course, is to allow us to be able to learn all day. But the guy admitted to me, if I had that happen to me right now, he would not be able to learn all day. People just don't have the ability to sit and learn for 24 hours. I don't have the ability to sit to learn all day. You don't have the ability to sit all day. But the other things you could do. But at the same time, now slowly, when a person begins to wean themselves off of where they are in terms of how much work they're doing and how much time they're wasting going to this place, so then you could slowly get into that state of being able to learn more than you are now. Me, right now, a person may not be able to learn 12 hours a day. Tomorrow, maybe you could add 5 minutes and 5 minutes, but slowly, you're able to chip away and get more time in your day to be able to learn it. You have to build up stamina to have that ability, or to do other things, whether it's chesed. But if it comes so sudden that suddenly one day, everything comes so quickly, people won't know what to do with their time. So at this stage in life, we go to work. We go to work, and the work is not supposed to be bidi'evid by any means. That's what b'zeas ha'pecha, the pasuk says, we're supposed to be working hard, and that's a way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It helps support the family. It helps build the world. It's bringing a lot of yeshiva olam, tikkun olam, into the world. So that's one way. Have the proper lishma when a person works. Now, of course, during work, the other way is to sanctify Shem Hashem, to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. A question I get often, I got this just the other day. A person wanted to know, is he allowed to print out Parsha sheets, there's the Divrei Torah from the printer at work. Is that allowed? Is that personal use of a business office material? So mitzat halacha, probably you'd be allowed to, depending, certainly if it's a big place, where there's a certain understanding of everyone uses a certain time, the 60 minutes, there's a certain amount of time which they understand in HR that you're going to use for your personal email, or you're going to make your own personal copies. There's a certain understanding, without defining it, you can't take advantage. There's a certain understanding, certainly the big places, that you have some of that leisure. In a smaller place, it might be harder. You probably have to ask mitzat halacha. But I said to the individual, even though he works in a very big place, and there's an understanding that you could do these personal things, I would recommend you ask the question anyways. Because if you go with that yarmulke and ask the HR person or the partner, can I make personal copies, 5, 6 copies, they're going to think you're crazy. But the very fact that you ask that question, permission, even though you didn't have to, that itself was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to make. So even though certain things are mitzat halacha or a certain way, there's still opportunities you have to mekadei shem shemayim. So use this as an opportunity to really show people what a yid's like, what type of honesty he has, what type of care and sensitivity he has for other people. And through that, through keeping Shabbos and then elevating the 6 days of the week, the finishing off the piece here, Tizku l'kayim ubashvi nagila b'shabbos hashni. We're going to the next Shabbos. We're going to celebrate even more. Nagila is going to be even higher level. Ulismoach la'avod ba es Hashem mitoch simcha v'gila. We're going to celebrate in a much higher level with much more simcha. And this goes very nicely into the next piece of a very nice diuk in this line here. It says, Dikte karav HaKadosh Rabbi Shimon Mirlos, I'm not sure what that is, Miroslav, Madua Pasach Velosha Nochach. Why is it first talk in the second person? Nochach Tavodu, that you should serve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that you should serve Shabbos. But Vesayim Velosha Midaber Nagil. But then it says, Nagil, we are going to celebrate together. First you and then we. Ela Kavanas HaPayeti, Sha'ayidei Shetavdu Es Hashem B'sheishes Yamach Yimeachol. Through your serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during 6 days of the week, Tizku l'smach yachad im Hashem Yisbaruch v'Shabbos. Then you're going to get to such a high level where you're going to be nagila u'maftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'ayidei avodaschem. Through the work during the week, zu nagil yachad, we're going to celebrate together Hashem Yisbaruch k'v'yachal im Knesses Yisrael. Okay, let's now go to the next page. Just an interesting line here to keep in mind when it says the word here, just a small piece, says Mati Yehuda, Lahagos Bimei Shefer Bechol Pinos Umachanos. So the line here says a person is, Lahagos is to say, V'gisa Yom V'layla, the person learns all day and night. Lahagos means to articulate, to say the words. So b'imre shefer, you're supposed to speak in imre, in the language of shefer, which is nice and pleasant, b'chol pinos amachnos, which refer to all corners, all camps. So interesting way, what does pinos amachnos mean? It's a very strange way to refer to. So what he says is, in the Mati Yehuda, b'chol pinos hi toras hanister, pinos are the corners, things are hidden in the corner, that's referring to toras nister, the hidden Torah, and b'machnos refers to hi Torah Sanigla, the more revealed Torah, Halacha, Gemara, Shebishtein Yesh Lahagos B'Yom Shabbos, you should really learn both Torah Sanigla and Torah Sanister, which is interesting. A lot of the Svarim bring down that a person should only learn Torah Sanister and Shabbos. It's brought down in some Svarim, where at a much higher level, there's a Nisham Yaseira, we have the ability to learn a much deeper level. Some say only Torah Sanister and Shabbos, but according to the Mati Yehuda, no, Pinos means Torah Sanister, Machnos refers to Torah Sanigla. There's a complete side point here, just that came to my mind now. The word machane, just tell you an interesting gematria that comes up with machane. That's the gematria machane, right? You've seen this before. No, that's not machane. We'll get there, but that's the ultimate goal, right? Machane is the, I mentioned this maybe earlier in the, we started the series, I don't remember. Machane is a gematria of, anyone know? 103. Machane is 103. Machane refers to just a, like the, they say, Machane is a camp. A person's location, that's a machane. My camp, machane Levia, machane Israel, my, this is my camp. That's a machane. 103 is a gematria. It's 103. So then, so the Gemara says in Pesachim that when Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all saw the machane, the camp of Har Bayis, they all saw it with a different perspective. Avram Avinu saw, as the Pasuk describes, as a har. He saw Har Moriah as a har. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak rather saw it as Lasuch Basada, he saw it as a Sada. And Yaakov Avinu saw it as a bias. So when he came, he slept over, it was called a bias. So the Svarim point out that Machan is 103. Har, Imakolo, Har is 205, but Imakolo, you add one, it's 206. So Har is two times Machane. Avram took the Machane, expanded it twice. Sada is the Gematria 309. It's 103 times 3. It's Sada is even further, 103 times 3. Bias is the Gematria 412, which is 103 times 4, even further than that. Came along Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to enter into Eretz Yisrael. How many times did he daven?
515.
515, which is the gematria of? Veschanan. And the gematria of Tila. And the gematria of 103 times 5, 515. So, Machne, Har, Sada, Bayis, Tila, Beis, Tila. See, that's the idea here. So, Machne refers to a person's camp, but we have to take that camp and be able to expand it through every all the different levels, whatever that means to expand it, to include people in some level. Like that.
We had a Shabbos morning by the
Yes, I mentioned it before. Okay. Let's now go to the next piece. So I think something Moshe was really getting at before about the bitterness is told us Adam here. It's entitled Oneg Shabbos Mevi Lidei Zrizus. When a person really enjoys Shabbos, so then it leads to a person's Zrizus. He's excited about mitzvahs. He wants to run to do mitzvahs. And this is a very true point. I know I felt this before. I'm sure some of you felt this too. But Chataya Adam Mevin Olav Atzlas V'Chvedus, person who sins, he feels depressed. You just said something mean to someone and you walk away and you feel like you did something terrible. Maybe you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said it in that way. You said something to your wife or to your husband that you really regret or to a child. And then you feel very heavy and you feel depressed and you feel like you're nobody. You've ruined a relationship. You've ruined someone's life, someone's business. May I share with you a story afterwards about this, just that came to mind now, about ruining someone's business. So what happens? Kikasu of the Pasuk Yeshaya says, Im kaved avon. The avon is so kaved, it's so heavy, it weighs down on a person so much. Shem kvedim merov avonus, because all the sins weigh down heavy on our hearts. We feel depressed. Aval ayidei shem anik is a Shabbos karoi. When a person keeps Shabbos properly, all those worries, all those heavy weights fall away. When a person properly keeps it, mochlin lo al kol avonosav. I know I felt this way. Shabbos comes and you're a whole new person, and that heaviness kind of dissipates. And because, he's explaining, because Shabbos is a time of mechila, all your sins are wiped away. Umimela, sara mimenu hakfedus va'atlus, and right away, that heaviness, that depression goes away. Umeata yelech benachas ubekalos odavar mitzvah, and now you can enter into Shabbos. Doesn't mean you can't ask for mechila. You have to still ask for mechila from the person, but still, at least as an individual, you feel a certain lightness. You feel like you're flying when Shabbos comes in. Certainly when you daven here, v'ushi yasid hapayit haliluchach Teba Nachas, that you're walking alone. Even the walking should feel like you're flying. Misham, she'oneg karal Shabbos, because your owning Shabbos is going to make you feel much lighter from that heaviness of the sin. I'll share a story with you, and I'll finish with the story. I'll share a story with you. Okay. It really nothing to do with Shabbos. It has to do with a person ruining a business. And just because it came up here, I figure I'd mention it. Rav Shalom Shvardaron would say this story, a true story that happened. It was in Yerushalayim at a time when there's a terrible famine. And there was a Moel who had somehow got a hold of a Napoleon gold coin, very valuable coin. He had it in the house and he left it on top of his dresser. One day, his young 7-year-old boy took this coin and went to the store. He wanted to buy some sweets. What did he know? He saw a coin, a gold coin. He took it and went to the store to buy some sweets for Shabbos. And he comes back, and then the father noticed when he came from home, from wherever he was, he says the gold coin wasn't there anymore. And he tried to find out who took the gold coin. And the boy said, oh, I took the coin, I bought some sweets. He says, let me see, what did you buy, and where's the change? He saw the candy, he saw the change, and it didn't add up to what the Napoleon gold coin was worth. It doesn't make any sense. He says, oh, that store owner, the Chenvani, he took advantage of my 7-year-old boy. He marched over to the storekeeper and started to yell at him that my son came here and you gave him only this amount of candy and this amount of change. That coin was able to support my whole family for however many days it was. You're a ganav, you're a ganav, you're a ganav. And then he started screaming at him, and then the people start coming that this Chenvani took advantage of the 7-year-old boy, and then he didn't know what to do. And then the Moel, the father, said, I'm going to take you to Beis Din. So he took him to Beis Din, took him to court, and after hearing the boy said, I took the money from the top of the armoire, and I brought it to the store owner. He gave me this change back, and they did some research, and they thought the store owner, he stole. He didn't give back the money. He owes money to the boy's family. So the Beis Din says, you have to give a shua. Make a shua. If you make a shua that you didn't steal from the boy gave you less money, it wasn't a Napoleon coin, so then you'll be off the hook. So he's about to take a shua that I swear, I didn't, he didn't give me the Napoleon coin, he gave me some other coin, I swear. So he's about to say, I swear, and then the father's boy says, I don't want him to take a shua, sheker, just forget about it. I'll just mocha him, and then that's it. So this store owner, his whole business went down, no one went back to the store owner because everyone thought he was a ganav. No one trusted him anymore. A number of years later, this father's boy gets a letter in the mail. And the letter in the mail said, I was a young man a number of years ago, and I saw your son walking in the street. And he was holding a Napoleon coin. And you know, times were really tough, then I had no money and nothing to eat. And I said to myself, listen, I need that money. A young boy doesn't need a Napoleon coin. I'll quickly switch it, he won't know the difference. And then I'll switch it with a much lesser coin. And then when I get the money, I'll pay back the family. What's he going to know? So quickly, he said, can I look at that coin? Took it out of the pocket, something that looked alike, and put it back in the boy's hand. He didn't know any different. And here I'm sending back the money to pay back for everything that I owed you. So when the story is told by a different tzaddik, he said, the lesson from the story is as follows. That the three individuals, the father, son, the Chenvani, the store owner, and even that man who stole the Napoleon coin, are all up now in Olam Emes and Olam Haba. They all have good reasons for doing what they did. The store owner did nothing wrong. So he's obviously, the fact that his business went down, he did nothing wrong. So he's certainly in Olam Haba. The father also. The father went to Beis Din, and Beis Din said, the psak is that the Chenvani owes a shul. The Chenvani was wrong. So he goes based on the psak of the Beis Din. So the father did nothing wrong either. And even that guy who stole the money from the little kid, in his mind, though it's a little bit warped, he has some understanding. B'makom pikuach nefesh, you could do certain things. There's some understanding. But every single other person who judged that store owner, who was not involved in that case at all, we had no place to judge anyone else, all of you guys are going to be in Gehenna. That's what he said. For not being down the kaf schus, when it's not involved, you're not involved in that case, to judge someone else and you're not in their position, that's the type of person you're not going to be zoche to Olam Haba. Okay, let's do maybe one or two more pieces here.
If you hear that a person is less honest in business, you're going to go shop at them?
it's a hard thing to know. It's a very challenging topic. But Dan Lekav's Chus is a very, very challenging topic.
I'm asking,
you have to figure...
If it gets out there, so then if that's the case, then the other players are not so innocent, right? It's not just... the only reason why the other people knew about the issue between the question, the integrity of the store owner, is because that case was highlighted. So then it goes back to those people who you just said are Shirley and Olamhamo, because they're the ones who brought that case. Say that they should be, maybe you should say that Lifnei Iver, they're over Lifnei Iver for making it all those people that are now supposed to go to Gehenim.
No, that's what happened. That's not Lifnei Iver. That's just news happens, rumor spread.
They're giving these other people reason to question the pandemic.
No, you have an obligation. When a person takes the Bezdin, you're allowed to go to Bezdin. What your conclusion will be from that case, that's your judgment. That's not my judgment. I have to take someone to Bezdin because he stole money from me. And Bezdin will decide whether he owes me money or not. That's my obligation. For you to judge...
But you have multiple places to shop. Where are you going to shop?
If you were patronizing a certain place, so that, I'm not saying it's easy to do. Our obligation here, we have to donis kol adam lekavshchus. That's our obligation to do. Even if it's such a case that it seems so far fetched, that's our obligation. Is it easy? No, not at all. I'm not saying it's easy by any means, but that's our obligation to avoid people being judged favorably. It's not an easy task. This is the halacha. It's not an easy task. That's all I'm saying. And certainly, I would add, certainly if a situation happens, if it's a court, an American court, not a Bezdin, an American court, that's certainly the case. We have no idea how, sometimes American courts are true and sometimes they're not. There's so much bribery going on, so much they're out to get certain people. You have no idea what the reality is, what type of plea bargaining they're working with to make a person to admit he's guilty just to get a lesser punishment.
Right.
We have no idea what's going on in the courts. Now, even though there's such evidence, we read in newspapers, articles, we really have no idea what's going on, certainly in American law. And literally, no, it's harder when it comes to Dayanim, but unfortunately in the Bezdin, there's a lot of corruption there as well, which is extremely unfortunate. Even in Jewish from Bezdin, a lot of corruption goes on there. But my obligation is I have to down the kaf schus. A certain rav, a certain Dayan, I'm supposed to judge him favorably.
You don't have to be an idiot either.
Correct. So you have to...
You have multiple places to shop in, even though you believe the guy who's probably on the cops list is probably good. But you know what? I have other places I can go to. I don't have to go to that kind of money.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call that. You've been going there for years, let's say.
Right,
so now you could. You're not losing anything by going that guy versus this guy. You don't trust the guy. Maybe you have some thoughts, but now you just ruin the guy's business. So again, you have to. It's not easy. I'm not saying easy. My initial understanding would also be if I find out that guy's a goner, I wouldn't want to go to him either. That'd be my also. But that's wrong of me. I think you have to try to look at every favorable position as you possibly can.
What's chashdeyu l'chamdeyu? No, chashdeyu l'chamdeyu. You can suspect in the whistle. Then you be careful how you handle him. But you still have to give him honor.
Right.
Well, then you're not done with cops. Sorry.
The Gemara says that.
It's all right. Not an easy thing. Okay, let's stop here, I guess. Let's stop. We'll continue maybe this whole piece next week. Amir Tashem, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Sure.